Hello, everyone. This is Jerry Pippin from Laughlin, Nevada at the Flamingo Hotel and Casino on the beautiful Colorado River. And we are here with the UFO Congress, the 13th annual UFO Conference, by the way, and Film Festival. They have a big speakers party tonight starting at 7 o'clock. Some very interesting speakers today. And Larry, the weather is pretty nice here, but the wind is cold. How about there in New Jersey?
Well, compared to last week, it's like springtime, Jerry. I mean, the sun is out. It's around 40 degrees. It's actually a little warmer yesterday, and the river has water in it again. It doesn't look like the tundra.
Well, that's good. The Colorado River is always beautiful here, and there's never any ice in it, so not at this part of the country anyway. We have a very interesting show today. I thought we'd do an overview of what's happening and what's coming up here at the UFO Congress. Nancy McKinney, you know, has been here since Sunday, going on, to all the conferences, meeting all the people, and we're going to invite her in a minute to talk to us about her impressions and give us a little overview of some of the speakers and some of the seminars that she's attended. And I think it'll be an interesting show. You know, a lot of people, as you say, as the executive producer of this show, you know, there's a lot of people contacting, a lot of interest about the conference.
Yes, there is, Jerry. We've certainly had a lot of inquiries, and people are really excited about hearing the shows that you're going to be producing here, and we hope to have one posted just about every night while you're there.
Well, we'll be certainly working on that, and we'll be working also on some of the produced shows at the conference that will be in posterity for, you know, several repeats down the line. I tell you what, if it's okay, unless you have some breaking news about anything happening in the UFO and the paranormal world, we'll go ahead and bring Nancy in.
No, there hasn't been any reports of any landings in Laughlin, so I'm going to turn it over to you.
It's strange that you should mention that. Nancy McKinney is here with us, and Nancy, you've been here since Sunday, and I know that we were making a joke, Larry and I were, about UFOs over Laughlin, but there have been some reports of some UFOs in the area, right?
Well, one of the speakers did mention that there were 10,000 ETs at the conference. Of course, they're in another dimension, so we can't see them, but nevertheless, they're side by side with us here. I found that really fascinating.
So you got here on Sunday, and you're best speaker so far because your interest in the paranormal was on Monday morning, correct? Or Monday afternoon?
Well, they all kind of run together, you know. Jerry, you just hear them one right after the other, and the information is so amazing and so astounding. So I take quite a few notes, and if you want to, we can just kind of run through the speakers that I've heard so far.
Well, that'd be very interesting. By the way, the folks listening in the area within 200-300 miles of here might to come and see the conference. Bud Hopkins will be here tomorrow with his conference this afternoon. Sam Gordon will be there at 4 o'clock. And he'll be able to talk about the Kecksburg experience, but let's talk about some of the things that have already happened.
Well, one thing, Jim Mars was the first speaker that I heard, and that was Sunday, I believe. And if you're interested in ancient religion, if you're interested in the Ark of the Covenant, if you're interested in the Iraqi War, if you're interested...
Well, he ties that Iraqi War and the Ark of the Covenant back to biblical times.
Well, he does. And he also talks a bit about the museum in Baghdad that was looted, and he spoke a little bit about some of the fantastic artifacts and the course of their thievery. He does talk about that a little bit, and that's pretty fascinating. But I hope you're going to be interviewing him before you leave this week.
Oh, we will, and Jim's been on our show quite a lot, and very interesting fellow. Has a new book out about 9/11 and the conspiracy there, which is an eye-opener if you would like to read it, folks. You can order that off our website, too, on the Jim Morris section. Jim, though, had something new that I did not know he was investigating. This is about some abduction things happening up in Montana.
He talked about some abductions in a small town in Montana that happened years ago, and Jim thinks that this could be even bigger than Roswell. Now, one of the abductees was present, and there were three remote viewers present who also did some remote viewing of their abduction experience, which was pretty fascinating. Now, these abductees, their experience happened in childhood, so this was years ago, and now they are middle-aged, but for years they have not talked about this, not even with each other. So now, through hypnosis, some things are starting to be revealed, and it's a fascinating story, and I'm going to talk more about it in his interview.
Oh, I'm sure he will, and he pointed out in this interview, I think, that the town knew about this, but just didn't talk about it.
No, they were, nobody seemed to talk. They were pretty hush-hush about it. Of course, there could be a lot of reasons for that. Maybe they didn't want to think about it. Maybe they didn't want to admit it even to themselves, or maybe they were afraid, or maybe they had some kind of mental director to want to talk about it. But the great thing is that it is starting to come out now.
Interesting experience with Jim Mars. He always investigates things that, you know, he finds new information. We're talking with Nancy McKinney here in Laughlin at the UFO Congress, the 13th annual one. You've been visiting with Bob Brown, and he really tried to get a big speaker lineup, and I know people can come in any day. Is the internet broadcast still on for Saturday, or have you heard?
As far as I know, it is, but I haven't heard any talk about it since I've been here.
Yeah, I haven't either, so we'll have to see. There's lots of things, and we'll cover that in a minute. But right now, we're kind of giving an overview of some things that Nancy has seen. You've met some pretty interesting people already.
I have. This has been the most fun conference that I've been to, and people are so interested in hearing each other's experiences and stories and meeting one another, and people are so friendly. It's like a big family. I just love it.
And we're talking with Nancy McKinney here, and let's go to some of the speakers on Monday morning. I know you had somebody you wanted to hear.
Well, I know there was a couple speaking on the crop circles, and the really great thing about their talk was that there is some telepathic interaction going on between Ed and Chris Sherwood, who spoke, and these lights or these energy forms that are forming the circle. So they had very interesting personal stories about their interaction with these lights that are forming the circle.
These crop circles, Ed Wood is his name, right?
No, Ed Sherwood.
Oh, Ed Sherwood.
Yes.
And where is he from?
They're from the UK.
And so this is where most of the action of crop circles has happened. Not that it doesn't happen in Kansas and Oklahoma, my part of the country too, but and there have been some interesting exhibits of crop circles recently in Northern California, which we've discussed over here. What about crop circles? What was their overall conclusion, or did they have one?
Well, one thing that they did mention was that this has not been a big year for crop circles in the UK, but it has been a big year for crop circles in the US. However, we don't know about that, because that's not in the media. How do we find out about that? The media's not reporting it. We have to really go to the web, check sites on the web. That's really the people's source of information now.
I think you're probably right about that, Nancy. So they talked about the crop circles. What's your opinion of crop circles? What do you think it is?
Well, I think they could be energy forms, some of them being natural energy manifestations from the Earth, because, of course, as it said, now the Earth is undergoing this transition and moving into another dimension, moving from the third dimension to the fourth and fifth dimension. And Ed also mentioned that perhaps there are some natural energies inside the Earth that are reacting to changes caused by changes in the sun, changes in the solar system, changes perhaps in the gravitational field, in the vibratory rate of the Earth, and that some of these changes are natural energy patterns that could be manifested in crop circles, but that some crop circles are man-made, that is a given, and that some crop circles are made by extraterrestrials. And I think those are the ones that are really fascinating, because I think it is a way that they are trying to communicate to us through what they're calling sacred geometry. They're trying to communicate perhaps the meaning of the universe, perhaps the meaning of life, perhaps something about themselves, something about our solar system and our Earth and our relation to all of it.
I always looked upon this as maybe crop circles with ET art.
Well, I think some of it is ET art, and it is the most beautiful, perfectly symmetrical art that you will ever see anywhere. It is absolutely phenomenal. So if people out there are not familiar with some of the outstanding books on crop circles, it'd be a great idea to pick up even one. The beauty is just awe-inspiring. It's just amazing.
We're talking with Nancy McKinney. She's been here at the conference Sunday. We arrived late last night on Tuesday night. If you want to come in here and stay at the Flamingo, they're booked up. This conference has been very, very successful, but there are still some rooms in town, and it's worth your time to come over here and go to the conference. Let's go ahead and get back to some of the other things that you have seen so far. We're on Monday morning, I think.
Well, one thing I wanted to mention, too, about Ed and Chris Sherwood's presentation was that sometimes Ed and Chris were with a group of people, and they were meditating on some of these crop circle sites. Now, there seems to be a specific location in England that's very close to sacred sites, ancient sites, where most of the crop circles predominate. And there were times when they'd go to these areas and sit and meditate, and upon the end of their meditation, they would see a beam of light, or they would see balls of light. Sometimes they even, as a group, set an intention perhaps for a specific symbol that they wanted to see, and there were times when Ed himself was thinking of or visualizing a certain symbol, and it seemed to manifest. So this is what Ed is calling this interaction between crop circle intelligence, whoever they are, or whatever they are, and us here on Earth.
Nancy McKinney with us, and we're talking about the UFO Congress and the crop. You know, this is one of the things that is incredible about this conference. We have all kinds of subjects. We've talked about a little bit about what Jim Mars was talking about, everything from the political ramifications of Iraq to ET abductions in Montana. Now we have crop circles. Then later in the day, what happened?
Well, another presentation that I really enjoyed was Matthew Hurley. Now, Matthew's from UK also, and Matthew has a book out called The Alien Chronicles. Now, Matthew's book is very interesting because it's full of beautiful photographs of great paintings, beautiful paintings throughout history, all the way from cave paintings to the Middle Ages, the Renaissance. A lot of religious, beautiful religious artwork, and this artwork, much of it has UFOs in the sky. Sometimes saucer shaped, sometimes wheels with light radiating from the wheel, sometimes shooting beams of light down on the figures in the foreground of the painting. And I've taken a lot of art history because I was an art major, and I never saw paintings like this in any of my art history books. But these paintings exist. They're in museums in Europe. These paintings are in cave walls. And people don't know about them. We're not informed about these things. So when you come to a conference like this, you learn a lot of forbidden knowledge. Knowledge that is forbidden to the people in this country. I think it's just a shame.
Talk with Nancy McKinney. Nancy, when we're talking about art, you're a little modest. You're a very good artist yourself.
Oh, thank you. Well,
but I don't think, do you paint anything like, most of yours is abstract, right?
Most of my work is abstract. I paint just strictly from what I'm feeling at the moment, and there are things coming out in
my... Well, that explains why your paintings recently have all been red.
Well, red's a color of high energy and passion.
Oh, good. Oh, I never thought of it that way. I thought it was anger and let's get back to the conference here.
Good idea, Jerry.
Yeah, what's next?
Well, I still want to say a few things about Matthew Hurley and his presentation. One thing that was interesting is that he also talks a bit about, or shows in his slides, cigar-shaped objects in the sky. Now, today people are seeing cigar-shaped objects in the sky, UFOs, and people are beginning to think that perhaps these are motherships. They're calling them motherships or transport ships. They are very often stationary when they are seen from Earth. But these objects were actually in paintings in our history. Fascinating. One painting specifically is dated 1479.
Wow. Well, you know, I've seen in the newspaper, newspaper article 1898, artist rendition of a cigar-shaped craft right outside Dallas, Texas. In fact, Jim Mars has that in one of his books. So these things have been around.
Oh, yes, they've been around. They've been around a long, long time. And even in some of the cave paintings, you know, there are figures in the cave paintings that appear to be extraterrestrials that certainly don't look human.
Now, after you've had two speakers from the UK right there in a row. In fact, this conference always has a lot of people from the UK each year.
Oh, yes. And they seem to be more open in that country, is my impression. Now, I've been there, but it's been a long time. And when I was there years ago, there wasn't really talk of UFOs to my knowledge. But now I think England, the UK seems to be much more open about it than we are here, much more accepting. So they do have a lot going on in the UFO field there.
I have a friend, Tony Glenn, who was a newspaper reporter for the Manchester Guardian. In this country, reporters just don't discuss things like that. And he talks about these things all the time.
Well.
So it's kind of interesting. Okay. What about this person you were telling me about this morning when we met us downstairs getting ready for today's plans? You talked to me a great deal about a person that had the things that you really enjoyed and the intrigue.
Well, another speaker was Wynn Free. And Wynn is a young man who, throughout the course of his life, has discovered, or at least feels very strongly, that he perhaps is reincarnated from Edgar Cayce. Now,
You were telling me he looks like Edgar Cayce.
Well, he does. He showed a photograph of himself as a young man and a photograph side by side with Edgar Cayce as a young man, also about the same age, and they look like they could be twins.
Amazing. Now, for people who are not familiar with Edgar Cayce, he's historic in many ways, and this fellow not only looks like him, but says he has the same abilities.
Well, actually, he was becoming psychic by the time he was 5 years old. And by the time he was 7 years old, he was reading every book he could find on ESP and the paranormal. Now, that's pretty unusual for a 7-year-old boy.
It certainly is. I'm still reading Jack's Got the Ball, See Jack Run, Hello Mary, and all that stuff.
Well, in fact, he was also telling about when he was in elementary school, his psychic games he would play with other kids in school. And, for example, he would say to them something like, okay, think of a number. Think of any number that you want to think of, and I'll tell you what it is. And he said that he would always be right. And the kids would get together in groups and think of something or think of an object, a place. And when they would ask Gwen to tell them what it was, and Gwen could tell them before they had all even agreed. So his abilities are certainly amazing. There's no question about that. And he is getting information from, if you want, I'm not really sure whether he's getting it from ET sources or the spirit world or spiritual entities or something like that, but he does get very interesting information.
Well, you were telling me you met some woman who also is a psychic, and she said she was getting the same messages.
Yes. Now, I believe you're going to be interviewing her before the conference is left over, but she was, I just happened to run into her in the business office and met her there. And she was telling me that she is a channel, and she had also heard Wayne's talk, and she said, you know, it's really interesting because he seems to be getting the same information, some of the same information that I'm getting from my sources. So something is going on up there that a lot of people on Earth are finding out about, as well as the people, I'm just saying, up there in some other dimension above the Earth, that there is some, seems to be some kind of plan going on. And we are most definitely a part of it, but we are also being helped, that's part of the plan, that we be helped to raise our level of consciousness, that we be helped to raise our spirituality, and that we help the Earth, too. And there's a lot of healing going on right now.
In fact, that brings us up to the subject of the fellow from Israel that you were talking about ET doctors and things like that. I found that quite fascinating.
Now, this was the speaker who fascinated me the most, although they were all wonderful, but this was Adrian DeVere from Israel, and he's an engineer, and he discovered over a period of time that he was having some psychic abilities, and then he started having contact or communication, telepathic communication from the ETs. One thing they told him that they wanted him to do, and I don't know how much pressure they put on him, I don't think it's really pressure, but they told him it was very important that he start healing clinics in Israel where he lives. So he took them up on it, and even though he's an engineer, he thought, well, you know, this must be important. So right now he has quite a few healing clinics in Israel. There are ET doctors that work at these clinics, although they are in another dimension. They are not in the third dimension. Now, some patients can see the doctors while they are being healed, but those are the patients who are usually more sensitive to psychic phenomena.
So the patients are aware at these clinics that there are people in other dimensions there.
Yes, they know that when they come in, and apparently the word has gotten around in Israel, and there are quite a few clinics. I don't remember the exact number, but there are, he also has psychic sensitives working for him, channelers working for him, and they act as mediators, I guess you could say, between the patient and the ET doctors. Now, the ET doctors are also called healers, and that's what they're doing, and they say that that is their job. That's what they want to do, that they love us, they want to bring us into the galactic community, if you will, at times for them to help, and this is how they can be.
You were mentioning there's a whole list of things that the ET doctors can heal, and one of the things that caught my attention was diabetes. They can do something about that if it's not too long.
They can do something about diabetes. They do have difficulty if the diabetes is 10 to 20 years duration. But if it's a shorter duration, they can do some healing. Now, of course, their healing is not 100%, but I don't know the statistics, but they do. There, he did bring with him some videos of patients who had been healed by the ET doctors, and they had wonderful stories to tell, and there were even some videos of patients lying on the table during actual healing.
Speaking of pictures of patients in ET healings, there's no pictures of the ETs themselves, but some people have seen them, right?
Well, no, there are no pictures of them, but now, as Adrian was saying, some of the patients can see them. These are the patients that do have their psychic ability more, well, more developed.
Do they all look the same, or?
Well, according to some of the patients' descriptions, they see them, and they say that their faces are very different, but they are not really describing them in concrete detail. Some of them, they just seem to have very vague descriptions of them, but apparently they do see a face, and they do see some sort of figure.
What else did Adrian discover in his lecture that you thought was interesting, or were we pretty well given a good preview and overview of that?
Well, There were some channelers that work at the clinics that did channel directly on a videotape from the ETs themselves. One was really great because there was a young man channeling an ET directly, and they had asked the ET to speak in his own language so that we could get a sense of what his own language sounded like. And it was like nothing really that you've ever heard on this earth. For one thing, it was extremely fast, and it was all running together very fast, almost like gibberish. Or if you had someone talking on a tape recorder and you turned the speed way up as fast as it would go. That was about the closest way I could describe it.
We're talking with Nancy McKinney here, and we're talking about some of the things she's seen at the 13th Annual UFO Congress already, and as you can tell, it's a widely varied conference. That was, actually, we were on Monday, this, right?
Yes, Monday or Tuesday.
Okay, yeah, everything runs together with
this
your...
This is a place where time-space sort of eludes us sometimes.
Yeah, you know, you got a good point about that. I know George Filer talked this morning at 8:30, and this afternoon we had Stan Gordon. We'll be here at 4, and then, of course, tomorrow we have Bud Hopkins and his wife, Carol Ramey, among others. Any of the other observations?
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit more about Adrian's talk because it was so exciting. One thing he said about the ET language, one reason why it was so fast is because where they live in their dimension, time is much faster than it is here on Earth. So that when they talk in their own tongue, everything to us sounds speeded up, but in actuality, if you were in their place or their time, it would probably wouldn't be at all. And then...
Did you say you had some actual recordings of that?
Yes, he had an actual recording for us to hear, and like I said...
Could you tell if it's male or female, or does that even down?
No, it seemed to be genderless, although the ET's name was Daniel, so maybe...
Maybe it's a guy.
Maybe it's a male.
Unless, of course, they call their women by men's room. I don't think so. I can't confirm. I love you. Never mind.
But they do. Apparently, they do have marriages. One ET was, I believe Adrian said, had a wife. And so it'd be nice to know where they're from. Now, he did mention that these aliens, it's not just one group of alien healers from one place. They are... from a lot of different places, they are different races. They all come together in a coordinated effort to help people.
We have some other things we're going to talk about in just a second, but Larry Dickin, our program's going along here. About how much time do we have left?
I'd say you have a good almost half an hour.
Okay, so we have about a half hour to go. Do you have any questions about any of these things that we've been talking about already with Nancy? You have anything for her? Here, let me put her on the line.
Okay.
Hi, Larry.
Hi. I've obviously been listening here, and it's quite interesting what you're reporting out of these sessions. One thing about the session on alien healing.
Yes.
What impression did you get in terms of, you know, how was there any attempt by the presenter to explain how they operate in doing this healing? Is it physical or psychic?
Yes, they and like I said, we did have some video clips of patients during actual healings, and sometimes the patients seem to be, parts of their body seem to be levitating from the table. One young man, his right arm was raised a little bit off the table. The patients themselves were conscious during these healings, and the patients said that these ET healers use very advanced technology to work on them, and that the patients can feel sensations in their bodies, so they know when they're being worked on.
Right.
And sometimes there is a little bit of pain. Sometimes they feel perhaps organs shifting or they feel some kind of vibration in their body or something moving around, or they feel pressure. And so they were conscious and they were talking, some of them, about their experience while it was happening. But now one thing that the ET healers do not do, they say, is they do not do organ transplants. So I thought that was kind of humorous.
Well, I guess they would have to grow them in situ, and, you know, they probably do that for themselves, perhaps, but, you know, for a different species like ours, maybe they don't do that for whatever reason. But what you're describing in terms of what actually goes on when a... what we would term a patient is on the table, and the ETs are doing their thing, is it certainly sounds like a very real physical process, and it also, by your description, it sounds to me like something that our own medical technologists are working on, and that's the use of micro technology called nanotechnology. To actually eventually at some point be able to deliver medications to specific sites like cancer tumors within the body, to actually go and clear out arteries in the body where you have arteriosclerosis. These are real things that are going to be upon us here within a few years' time.
Well, you know, Larry, I'm glad you mentioned that, because from this, I never got any sense that there was any medication used whatsoever.
Right.
And in fact, after the patient was finished with their treatment, they were asked if they wanted the ET healers to continue to work with them on a follow-up basis. Now, many of these patients do require follow-up treatments. So the patient would need to agree. They are not doing this against the patient's will, but if the patient agrees, what the ETs do is they implant devices in the patient's body that enable them to keep track of where they are. Because when they need to do a follow-up, they're going to have to be able to locate the patient. So one young man in particular was saying that he had agreed to this implant so that he could be located for follow-up. And when the ETs actually located him, they came to his house. He said, "I knew they were there because I could feel them." He said, "I don't see them, but I feel them around me. I can feel their presence." And he said, "One day I was in my car and I felt that they were in my car with me." I just felt it. So this is kind of interesting, too, is that they're not going to just treat you one time at the clinic and then just let you go and, you know, just let you go forever. They want to be sure that the treatment is complete and that you are as fully healed as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But there was never a mention of medication of any kind.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when I speak of medical technique, when I'm talking about you know, the treatment itself, is, you know, is that I'm not referring to medication either, is the fact that, you know, use of nanotechnology to go in and do exploration in. And,
okay, now, Larry, I'm not a scientific person, so you're going to have to explain.
Yeah, well, this is, you know, all it is it's little teeny tiny robots is what it amounts to.
Oh, cool.
And these things is the kind of technology they're working on. It can be a combination between inorganic, you know, metallic and silicon-based computer technology.
Wow.
And actually organic technology, in which they can basically turn artificially created organisms into machines to do what we want to do. And between the two of these, as I said, is that there's some remarkable things on the horizon, and it would work just as you're describing, is things would be moving around in your bloodstream, go into organs, do surgeries, do, you know, get rid of things in the arteries, as I mentioned. All this stuff is possible, and the patient would not be on any medication at all.
So fabulous. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
We live in such an exciting time. We just need to open our eyes and ears.
So,
They're open already.
So, well, I'll let you and Jerry continue.
Okay.
And it was an interesting revelation you had
there.
Well,
I'm telling you, there were people in the... you could have heard a pin drop in this room.
Mm-hmm.
And this man was absolutely astounding everyone. Now, he did say that there are ET healing clinics in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So this is good news for us here, except they don't call them that, and they don't advertise that, and they don't broadcast that. But they are apparently operating in places where people are doing alternative healing, such as Reiki and energy work, work like that, maybe massage. I'm not really sure about the massage, but most definitely in some places that do energy work. So that would be something that people could investigate.
Good. Well, thank you for the information.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm going to give you back to Jerry right now.
Well, Larry, you know, when they talked about not doing organ transplants, it may be that they're into regenerating tissue somehow or another and don't need to.
Well, that's certainly a possibility, too. Yeah, I mean, you know, when we talk about transplants, we're actually talking about taking a whole, fully formed adult organ and taking it out of one individual and placing it in another. And, of course, organ regeneration, you know, using stem cells technology, which we would certainly like to get into if they let us, and I'm speaking of the government, not the ETs, is that holds great promise to do exactly, you know, that kind of replacement therapy. Is you can literally grow a new liver or a new kidney or whatever.
You're listening to the UFO Files. Nancy McKinney and yours truly, Jerry Pippin, here in Laughlin, Nevada, and Larry Dickens holding down the home front. What have we got, about 15 minutes left? The reason I ask, I want to get back to Nancy and do a little bit of overview of what's coming up, and she's met some pretty interesting people here. You know, that's one of the great things about going to a conference like this. There's members of the audience sometimes have greater stories than the speakers.
Well, you have approximately 20 minutes. Let's call it 18.
Okay, fine. We will be checking back with you toward the end of the program. But right now I want to talk to Nancy. Let's run over that schedule in a minute, Nancy, when we can, on who's coming up. To let people, well, let's pick it up with the Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The conference ends on Saturday night with the EB Film Festival Awards. But Thursday we have some pretty interesting speakers. I know Bud Hopkins, which I alluded to earlier, will be here. There'll also be some other subjects covered.
Yeah, Jerry, Bud Hopkins will be here. Okay, he's going to be here tomorrow. Leah Haley will also be presenting tomorrow, and you interviewed her this morning so people can hear your interview with her. She's written a book called Unlocking Alien Closets, and she has a history of abduction since childhood and mind control, and she ties her experiences of abduction and mind control in with spirituality. So that's a very interesting perspective that she has to share with everyone. And then Riley Martin will be on Friday, and I've heard Riley Martin speak before, and he is really, he's got the best sense of humor, and he has some very funny stories to tell about his abductions, believe it or not, some very funny stories. And he was abducted, I believe, from the age of 7. And actually taken aboard spacecraft and flown to the mothership, and he'll talk a bit about that. And the mothership was parked up near Saturn. So he's going to talk about some of those experiences, and he made a great friend that he calls Tan. So he's also written a book, I believe it's called The Coming of Tan, which is absolutely hilarious. I've read about half of the book so far, and I'm just in stitches in practically every chapter. Then Lizette Larkins is going to speak also, and she's author of Talking to Extraterrestrials and Calling on Extraterrestrials. And her books are about how we can open communication with them, because they are wanting to communicate with us. So that's a pretty fascinating topic. She's had abductions also, and she is in communication with them, and they direct her to write these books. Wendell Stevens is going to be here also. There will be a presenter from Brazil, and I can't tell you who that is because I don't know how to pronounce the name. But it looks like it's going to be good. Then we have some more people on Saturday.
It's going to be very interesting. Wendell Stevens, of course, was a U.S. Air Force pilot and got involved with UFOs early on and has been an expert on the subject for a long time. I believe he lives down in Tucson now. I'm not sure, but... I think it's where he's now living. And of course the fellow from Brazil has UFO Brazil, which is a very interesting website and organization. Lots of sightings there. And on Saturday, all kinds of speakers, and there will be an internet telecast as well, starting at 8:30 in the morning and running until 4:30 or 5 in the afternoon when the conference comes to an end before the banquet that night. Nancy, let's talk a little bit about some of the people you've run across here. Last year, when I was here, I was sitting out drinking a cup of coffee there in that area by the conference, and a woman came up to me and started telling me about an ET visiting her room. So, I mean, there's all kinds of things like that happening.
Well, I really want to share with people a psychic experience that I had concerning you, Jerry. And this was last night. Now, I was expecting Jerry to come into the hotel about 7.
We had an interview set at 7, and poor Nancy was stuck with some people, and I wasn't there.
So,
I'm sorry.
That's all right. We did okay. So, after I talked with the people and waited with them for a while, I thought, well, I better go up to my room and check my messages and find out where Jerry is. So, I came up. There was no message. I waited in my room until 8:30. Then at 8:30, I got a thought that I should go downstairs. So I go downstairs, and just as I get there, Jerry walks in the door. So I'm telling you, these psychic things, little psychic things like this, are happening to people all the time, and they're probably happening to people listening to my voice right now.
I'm glad that you were psychic, because I needed some help, and you were there to help me, and I appreciate that. That's always an interesting thing. I don't know. I met a couple of people also already this morning. One guy said that he was a pilot and did not believe in UFOs, and all of a sudden one was on the, you know, his tail flying near him. And so, I mean, that's one of the great things about coming to one of these UFO conferences. We have about 10 minutes to go, and you'll need to let me know when we get close to it, because we don't want to run over here and be cut off. A lot of people that come to these UFO conferences, they are not exactly non-believers, they're just new believers, you know, and they come to find out more information.
Well, I tell you, last year, I met a couple from San Francisco, and they were really just sort of passing through town on their vacation, and they found that this conference was here, and they thought, well, let's go see what that's about. So they came in, and they heard a couple of speakers, and they were just ecstatic because it was so exciting. They hadn't really been that interested in UFOs before, although they seemed to have a mild passing interest. But they were learning so much, and the couple was telling me that they liked it so much they decided to stay until the end. And I did see them day after day going to as many of the presentations as I was attending, certainly. So that was really a wonderful surprise for them.
Some of the pictures that Nancy's taking will be on our website, and one of those interesting pictures, I think she got a little tangled up with security here because they don't like you taking pictures in the casino, but there was an actual ET giving away prizes.
Well, this was kind of a fun drawing last night with a guy dressed up in an ET costume and blue hair and big wing shoulder pad things on his costume, and It was kind of fun. There were a lot of people around there, so I did get a couple of pictures of him, and we'll put them on the site.
And in fact, you'll be looking for all our pictures. And speaking of pictures, you're famous for taking pictures of things that you can't see with the naked eye. Have you got anything interesting that you're investigating right now? I know you had some more lights show up there instead of.
Well, I tell you, Jerry, I'm going through sort of a period of rest as far as my paranormal photographs are concerned, and I've been told that they are giving me a period of rest, but that it will continue. So, you know, the way I take pictures is I just wait until I get the urge, and something just tells me to go out and take pictures, and that's usually when something shows up.
Talking with Nancy McKinney, and she has a section on our website. You can see her picture, click it on, you go over there and see some of the things that she's written about. She's written recently about some sightings on an Indian reservation. In addition to that, she has a great story about Jim Law, a fellow who's lives down in Sedona where she does, where Nancy does. And he actually, I guess, an ET healed him, right? Got rid of his hernia.
That's right. He had a hernia, and he was scheduled for surgery, and he had an abduction prior to his surgery, and he got a little assertive, I'm going to say, with them that time, and he said, okay, I know you guys have been taking something from me for a long time, so now I want you to give me something, and I've got a hernia problem here, and they said it's already taken care of, and it was.
So there has been a big debate all along on whether or not the ETs and these happenings are bad, negative, or positive, and there's evidence of both. In fact, I was talking to Leah this morning in an interview you'll hear in a week or two, and Leah was talking about some of the things that happened. She thought the worst things that happened were government inspired by our government to investigating what the ETs have done. In other words, their investigations do more damage than the ETs.
Well, you know, that's entirely possible, but I think there's a new direction. I think through the course of years now of study of people's abduction experiences that people are coming out on the positive side of all this, and I'm so happy to see this because this does seem to be part of a plan. The plan seems to be for the greater good. Now, I'm not saying that there are not negative ETs out there. There most definitely are. But there are also many, many of them out there that are benevolent, that want to help us, that are working very hard right now. That is their only job, is to help us, to help heal us, to help us grow, to help us in just about any way possible.
Talking with Nancy McKinney, and Nancy, we appreciate you and all your efforts here. You know, we've seen you at other conferences, and you helped us with the Las Vegas Recruitful Conference. And this one really is being right up your alley. I mean, because it has so many varied subjects.
Well, I did work for about 12 years as a psychotherapist, and I have my master's degree in family therapy. So, and I have done some art therapy too. So I'm very interested in psychology and spirituality. So that sort of gives me a foundation, I guess, for my interest in paranormal now.
Nancy McKinney, thank you very much. This is Jerry Pippin. This is the UFO Files of Larry Dickham. We have about 5 or 6 minutes left, I think.
Yes.
And I thought we'd kind of wrap this up by maybe giving an overview of some of the things we'll be doing here. We'll be doing a live on-the-spot recording again for tomorrow night and maybe Friday as well. And then they'll hear several taped excerpts of shows coming up in the next week or two. And all of these things are posted on our website, of course. And the fact is that many of these interviews will be part of our syndicated projects. We'll be starting, we thought it would be off the ground in February. It looks like March now. And it's be a pretty interesting, it's been a big project for us all along. And we really look forward to getting that off the ground, the UFO Files being heard on radio stations around the country again like it used to be. Have you got any questions or comments about anything we've discussed tonight before we wrap this thing up, Larry? I know that you do a great job with the website and the UFO coverage in general. So some things that pique your interest, I'm sure, pique other people's interest as well.
Well, I'm interested certainly in seeing whether anything interesting happens outside the conference, as it has in the past, you know.
Yeah, we had a videotape from last year,
and
showing a disc-shaped craft over the top of the Riverside Hotel next door to us.
Well, let's see what happens this year.
Well, you never know.
You know,
we got Nancy, her trusty camera out there. Maybe she'll get a good picture. You never know.
I'd like to see a big flying triangle go right over the hotel. That would be a good one.
Somebody, I think you and I were talking about that 2 or 3 weeks ago, that would be the thing to do, that a flying triangle show up here and buzz the place.
Right.
That would be, that'd get everybody talking.
So, I'd look forward to getting some videotapes of that. And,
of course, we do have the forum on our website, and people can send in their experiences, and we do like to get videotapes and anything else that we can get, snapshots, whatever.
We're looking for everything. My only problem right now is getting the time to get it out there. I know I have a backlog.
We've had quite a response on that, that's for sure. And we've talked about we're going to have a whole page created, just listener or viewer or visitor input, in which they talk about their experiences, and if they have photographs or whatever, we'll have that on that page. That'll be coming up pretty soon.
Right.
Well, it's been, a very interesting conference so far, and it's just halfway through. People can come out here and go to one conference or, a speaker, or they can go to the whole day, or they can go 2 or 3 days or whatever. That's one of the great things about this is you can kind of handpick what you want to see and what you don't have to see. Well, Larry, it looks like we're about out of time.
I think the time has come to say goodnight.
And we'll be talking to you again tomorrow, and look forward to having Nancy back on, and we'll probably have a guest with us on tomorrow's show. And as we continue along, we'll have some pretty intriguing programs.
Look forward to hearing from you again tomorrow.
Thank you very much, Nancy McKinney. This is Jerry Pippin along with Larry Dickin. Watch out for those flying saucers.
Keep your eyes to the skies, and good night.